Hello and welcome to Composer Chat, a podcast where we talk a little about music, a little about life, and a whole lot about whatever nonsense happens to come up otherwise. I'm your host, Jason Nitsch, and each week I am joined by one of my favorite composers out there in the world. It's my show, so that's why it's my favorite composers who get the invites, and you're just going to have to live with that. Stick around, we're going to do a deep dive with some of the most creative people in the world. You're listening to Composer Chat. Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Composer Chat. I'm your host, Jason Nitsch. Yes, I'm a composer. Yes, I'm here every week. Each week I'm joined by a guest of my own selection, and we'll spend the next hour talking about them. With frequent interruption by me, I'm so super excited to welcome my guest this week, my very good and dear friend and wonderful colleague, the Gerard Hall. Hello!
Hey everybody.
We were talking before we started about how we are very likely to get off topic, and that is going to be totally fine, and the audience is just going to have to deal with it. I tell people, much like when I write music, I don't really consider what the audience is going to experience. This is the exact same thing. This is really for me and for you. So tell people who may not be as familiar with you as I am about what kind of stuff you do in our creative space.
Yeah, sure. My name is Gerard Hall. I'm from Carrollton, Texas. I started playing the tuba in the sixth grade, and I haven't looked back. Even when carrying the tuba across my back on a university campus in 110 degree weather, I may have looked to the side, but I didn't look back. So I'm still playing. I write a lot of music for wind band, which I taught for about 10 years in the classroom. And I've been a private lessons teacher. I've taught middle school band. I've taught high school band. And one of the most challenging things I always encountered as an educator was quality music at all of the levels. There's really good music at some of the higher levels. And now we're kind of entering this Renaissance era where more and more composers get it. But when I was teaching in the classroom, that music that was at the level of like a grade one, two, that was a really good fit for most groups, and especially for my group, it was a bit scarce. And so that kind of prompted me to go do some homework and write some stuff for my group and eventually for other groups. And now all of a sudden I've written something for a group in Delaware. And I have to be honest, I had to brush up on my geography to find out where I was going. But that was a really good time. And now I guess I'm composer man. So it's been a really good time.
You are very correct about it being a renaissance of really great band music at the most approachable grade levels. I don't think there has ever been a time, both where there are so many really great pieces at that level, but also so many really great composers taking the time and choosing to write at that grade level as we have right now.
Yeah, I would agree. My composition mentors, Dr. Ippolito, who teaches at Texas State, he's my composition professor. But before this degree, before my master's, I actually had not taken composition lessons of any kind. And so as I was entering the composition world, I was incredibly lucky. I mean, one in a million lucky to have been noticed by one of the industry giants, and that's Brian Balmages. And through the process of me sending pieces to him saying, hey, what do you think about this? And him going, hey, tuba players can't do that. And I say, well, sure they can. And he goes, well, sure you can.
Yeah.
And that process of going back and forth and kind of grounding me, so to speak. But he's been like an incredible influence and a wonderful mentor and a brilliant friend. So that's been a really, he has to remind me to take the Texas out of the writing sometimes. Cause I mean, when I was in school and as I taught school here in Texas, we're very fortunate to have somewhat robust structures for the wind band medium and stuff that we would take for granted if we didn't know any better, like, I don't know, the band ensemble meeting as a class period each day, which is not the case everywhere. And so especially now with getting to travel everywhere and seeing all this stuff, I mean, it's really cool to kind of get a different perspective and a breath of fresh air. I haven't yet visited Michigan. But I've heard that they do like volunteer marching bands up there, and that's just the most wild thing to me. That's incredible. I remember having to be dragged to marching rehearsal when I was in school. But yeah, it's been a really good time, and I've loved getting to work with all of the students and directors that I've worked with this composition process. Man, being a composer at TMEA versus being an educator at TMEA, I mean, just wearing the different cap is really something. I'll speak on the behalf of the composer hat when I go to these conventions and I convene with these same people that I used to convene with as, a fellow teacher. The composer aspect of it at the world opens up so much. There's such a positive energy, such a collaborative energy and understanding and human energy about it that I just love.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really great. I didn't realize that Brian is the person that discovered you out there in the wilderness. He
Well,
also
I suppose that kind of the credit goes to Willie Owens, and I'll tell you the quick story. At one of my schools, when I was an assistant band director, my head director, and by the way, I realize what an incredible privilege it is to have said that sentence as an assistant band director, because
Right.
not everybody has a team, but I was fortunate enough to have a team, and I was the new guy. My colleague, who was older, more experienced, and ran the logistics of the program and taught the varsity ensemble, invited Willie Owens to clinic her band. And it wasn't my band, but I remember Willie coming in and shaking my hand and hearing the group. And then he started talking to me, and he goes, "Hey, young man, you did a great job." And I said, "No. This is the top band. These aren't my kids." And he goes, "Oh yeah? Hey, everybody, raise your hand if you were taught by Mr. Hall, if you're one of his beginners, if you took band with him less than, half of them raised their hand." And he goes, "Yeah, man, you're doing good work." And I said, "Oh, well, thanks, And kind of off to the side, I had mentioned that I wrote one of the things that I had did really well as a teacher is getting to know my students' needs very specifically, and I would compose material and curriculum for those students. And I mentioned that to Willie, and I just kind of asked for some advice. He said, "Well, what advice would you give a young, burgeoning composer?" And he says, "Really? Well, how about you send me what you got?" And I did not hear back from Willie. I heard back from this guy named Brian Belmages, who emailed me and said, "Hey, I love the chart that you sent me, Lost Woods Fantasy. What do you think about making a second trumpet part?" And in my head, I'm like, "Oh my God, of course there should be two trumpet parts," because I remember screaming until I was blue in the face at some of my trumpets who couldn't get all the way up to high B in the staff. And I thought, "Oh man, that would have, oh, genius." I said, "Yeah, that's probably how that should have gone in the first place." And then Brian says, "Great, we'll do it." And I said, "Do what? What do you mean?" "No, we'll publish it." "Publish what? Your piece? What piece? The one you wrote? Who wrote? Me? What?" And that, without exaggeration, that has been the process every single time. I'll send him something like, "Hey, I'm just kind of working on this." He goes, "Yeah, I feel like more people could play on that downbeat if you really want." And I said, "You know what? That makes a lot of sense. All right, we'll do it." "Wait, what?" Yeah, so that's been happening for the last 5 years or so. And I could not be more thrilled about that process and all the doors that it's opened for me.
Brian has this amazing way of giving you a suggestion about a piece that I know is not really a suggestion, but in such a way that makes you just want to do it. And then when you do it, it makes you feel so dumb for not having done it that way to begin with. And you go, well, that's why he is who he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close. He is the best manager, boss, colleague I have ever had, hands down. There's no question. His interest in the human that he's working with, his knowledge of the craft, and his way of communicating all the stuff that's in his brain is second to none. So I've gotten to kind of experience that greatness firsthand a lot. And some of it has rubbed off on me, I hope. And so I'm starting to kind of really take that in stride and, I mean, really explode. I went to Texas State for my master's mostly to, for the sole excuse of I needed a break from teaching band and from teaching around some of the environments that I was in. And I thought, well, you know, if I just stopped, if anyone asked me what I was doing, and I would have to say something like, oh, you know, I'm just kind of taking a break. I'm just, you know, I'm really finding my truth, you know. And I feared that people would kind of go, huh, dude, what, no, what's your job? What are you like doing? And I'd have to like come up with so, oh, well, I kind of write, I guess. At the time, I hadn't really sold enough, you know, to make, you know, to pay my light bill or anything like that. But then I thought, well, if I just went back to school and I was in debt like 90% of the country, everybody goes, oh yeah, sure. Oh, you're in school. Ah, oh, great. Good for you. Hey, A plus.
Everybody understands that.
So, but while I was there, I figured I would add some more tools to the toolkit because I have kind of gotten the grade 2 and 3 thing somewhat figured out. And I haven't written a lot for the kind of upper level of like high school literature and college literature and professional literature, what we would consider grades 4, 5, and 6. And with the obviously with playing in ensembles in a college again, it's kind of like reopened my ears to some of the things that, you know, I've not really experienced firsthand on the daily for quite some time. Learning from world-class educators like Dr. Caroline Beatty. Oh my gosh. Every single rehearsal, I leave going, wow, I'm glad I went to that. I'm glad I learned that. Wow, I didn't even know about that. You know, she has a very beautiful way of managing humans and music as well. And I will just flat out say the best conductor I've had. And I've really enjoyed my time at Texas State as composer man with a tuba playing moonlighting kind of side quest that I do every Tuesday and Thursday. So that's been a really fun time. But yeah, credit goes to Willie. Brian has mentored me something fierce for the last 5 years or so. And especially now that I'm at Texas State, I'm getting to really come into my own and expand what I've been able to do. I have written notes down on a piece of paper that included the word orchestra, but I don't yet feel comfortable enough to call it an orchestra piece. You know, my so Dr. Ippolito plays cello and piano, but I one of the things that I have no idea about is bowings, and so I work with him on that, and also Katie O'Hara Labrie. You know, one of the pieces that I wrote for Randall Stanridge's catalog, Ready the Castle, I've actually translated to the string orchestra with a tremendous amount of help from Katie, and that was one of the things I had to ask a lot about. Like, wait, so. Do I d is does the bow happen every single time? Yes, Gerard, you have to move the bow for all the notes. Well, what can it be all downs? Like, well, it no, yeah, let's just here, let me show you. But that's been a good time. So I'm learning some new stuff. The last semester of school that I did, we focused on contemporary music. And I gotta be honest, not all of it made it into my skull, but some of the stuff that we were talking about really has found some of its way into my music that I've written. And that's kind of funny because I wanted that to happen, but I didn't expect it to happen so quickly. All of a sudden I'm writing in like extremely complex and compound time signatures for a commission called Storm Surge, which I'm is being premiered by the Houston Pride Band in June. And so it's been a wild ride. I think I've grown more in the last year and a half than I have in the last 5 years. And even in the last 5 years as a person, I think I've grown more during that time than I have in my entire adult life. So it's been a very good journey for me, and I hope I'm positively impacting the people around me. I certainly want to leave, you know, the Boy Scout motto, I certainly want to leave things better than where I found it. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I think you're definitely doing that, and I have a great story for you because I just finished a commission for a band, and when I was talking to the band director, you're always kind of interested if it's somebody that you don't know, tell me about the pieces you've played, tell me about your band, tell me about the composers that you like. And he's like, well, I really like Gerard Hall. Okay, yeah, no, that's great. That's really fantastic. So people are out there in the world using your music to describe the things they like to me to try to get to write for them, which I think is wonderful. I go, I really like Gerard's music too. He will get a kick out of you telling me that. So yeah, anyway, that was a really fun story. And I will say too, Brian was a great early supporter of mine. He published my very first piece way, 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 way back. I think 2003 kind of sounds right. And it
Now,
was
do you
the,
feel comfortable saying the name of the piece? I know you don't want to necessarily date yourself that much,
oh,
but
no. Yeah, I will say it was
I'm
The
curious.
Eternal Pursuit. It's called The Eternal Pursuit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wrote it for a band. It was a commission for a band going to Midwest, very last minute. Like they needed a grade one piece for their program. They couldn't find one that they liked, and I think I got this commission in like July, and wrote it in a couple of weeks and sent it off to them. And I don't know, I was very young, and nothing published at the time, and I had no idea what a big deal getting a piece on the stage at Midwest was. And they played something of Brian's also, and I don't remember what it was, but he found me after the concert. He was like, hey, can you send me that? I think I might want to publish that. And it was in the catalog in April. Like they published it
Oh
right
man,
away.
that is quick. For y'all listening at home, the publishing process is not quick.
No.
When you finish a piece, you get to the final bar line and you think, okay, the piece is done. But to even get it into somebody's hands, even by yourself,
Yeah.
takes months because you're talking about printing and engraving all of the parts and the score to make it look nice. And if there's a team that helps you with that, like a publishing company, they have their own schedule and they'll only release music at a certain time of year each year. And so if you are struck with the genius in March, you won't see it until next April, a year and a month later. So
Yeah.
that's a quick turnaround for you, Jason. Oh my gosh, that
That
must
was
have been
very
quite a
quick.
surprise.
And I think he even told me, he says, yeah, I actually have to bump a piece out to put yours in. And I should have asked him which one it was or who it was, but I don't know that. Anyway, yeah, that was it. That happened and that piece went out. And yeah, he's responsible for the rest because I probably would have stopped at some point if I hadn't gotten some things published. But yeah, I've known Brian for a long, long time. And I gave him a nice big hug on our 20th anniversary in 2023. Well, oh, that's very cool. So I want to ask about you kind of started writing as a teacher. That first piece with FJ, it probably would have been FJH, right, at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that kind of the first piece that of yours that other people played?
No, actually, that's an interesting question. So, if I back up a couple years from that, because at that point I would have been teaching at that middle school for about 3 or 4 years. A couple years prior to that, I started playing in a community band. I started playing with the Carrollton Wind Symphony.
Oh, yeah.
One of the members of the Carrollton Wind Symphony, and as a community band, there were some people that did music something for a living, but there were a significant portion of others that their day job was, they were lawyers, elementary school principals,
Yeah, other stuff.
administrators, doctors, nurses, I mean, you name it. One of the Barry Sax players, Phil Jackson, got up on the podium after Jim McDaniel and he said, "Hey, everybody, I wrote this piece called Pursuit, and what do you think? And let's play through it." And I thought, wow, that's so cool. Like, I didn't know that that was even an opportunity. And I spoke to Jim about it, and he goes, "Yeah, if you have something that you've written, we'd love to read it." And So the very first piece that I ever wrote for a band, a wind ensemble, is called Space Launch. And that was back in 2000, oh man, 17, 18. And it was fun. I had fun. I think the band had fun. It was very early Gerard. And so there was a lot of like concentrated, like the tuba player had like 17 uplets, and
Oh,
like
yeah.
there was only one percussion part, and it was a timpani. Whoever only played the lick from also Sprock
Yeah.
twice, and then he was done. And
Perfect.
there was
Yeah.
all kinds of crazy woodwind runs and brass that were stretched, from high heavens to the depths of hell. I mean, it sounded great, but it definitely was not the kind of thing that you could just put on the shelf and say, "Hey, everybody, come take a look."
Yeah, sure.
Of course, you could say that, and then they take a look at the first two pages and go, "Okay, what a nice thought." Next, but we got to play it in Carrollton Wind Symphony, and I got to conduct it on our concerts a couple times actually, and that gave me a lot of insight. I also did a piece with Carrollton Wind Symphony called the piece formerly known as Snow a Day, what people may recognize now as Toboggan, which
Oh,
was
yeah.
published a couple of years ago.
Great piece.
And I remember sending it to Randall, and he fell in love with it. And he was like, "Hey man, about the title." And I'm like, no, come on, man. That's my title." He goes, "Yeah, I know. It's cute. I love it. I also want to submit it to some state lists to see if it can get some street cred that way. And I worry that the title might turn people away." And I said, "No, but it's like a snow holiday. It's a
Yeah.
snow day." He goes, I know, man. It's great. How about something else?" And so it's now known as Toboggan, and it's undergone a transformation or two, but it's at the core, it's the same piece. And I will say, a couple of years before that, I didn't know this was going to happen, but the first piece I ever wrote that was performed by anyone was actually called Find Your Voice. And it is a jazz chart that was played and premiered by the 2014 Disneyland All-American College Band. Talk about
Boom.
a knockout premiere. This was last minute. Ron McCurdy, our director, said, "You all should be writing. You all should be arranging and composing and doing something on the side that supplements your musicianship, because you really don't know something until you can create something with it." And that was just kind of something he mentioned off to the side. And I already was like Mr. Marching Band Arranger Man. When I would hear Kesha on the radio one too many times, I'd be like, "All right, and this is for marching band," or whatever it was. And so with that, I thought, "Oh, well, I arrange and write stuff all the time." I just kind of pitched the idea to Ron, and I said, "Hey, if you want, maybe we could like read something like this, please." And I was totally expecting him to shoot me down. He goes, "We have time at our next rehearsal. I'll let you lead it. I'll give you 20 minutes." And I mean, obviously the piece went really well. I mean, it was one of those things where I put it in front of these members that I had played alongside for the past several months, and we knew each other's vocabulary, we knew each other's isms very well. So I feel like because they knew who I was, and because they knew kind of my flavor, they read it down spotlessly, and not just with correct things, but with exactly what was in my brain, which was a surreal experience. And it was premiered in the park a couple of weeks later. So that was the first time I thought, "Hey, maybe I could do this again for somebody sometime." So that was my first, that was my start. That was my first compositional premiere. And then, of course, with Carrollton Wind Symphony, those two pieces. Lost Woods Fantasy is the piece that FJH published. That was the first piece that I've ever had published, and it was written for my non-varsity band in Texas, middle school non-varsity. At the time, our school was not huge, but band retention and everything was high enough to where enough students wanted to come back to where we started to add a third performing ensemble, where most schools kind of around us in our size only had two. And with my role as the assistant band director, I continued to teach the second band. But what that meant was that when we added a, oh, how did we word? I think we added, technically speaking, we opened a top band. So nobody felt that they'd move down or something like that. But I continued to direct the non-varsity, which was now the middle group instead of the bottom group. And with that came this incredible challenge of how do we dive into stuff the first month of school? Because the same pieces I would have given my sub non-varsity or just the non-varsity band when there were only two, it really wasn't going to hold their attention. And I tried this and it absolutely happened just the way I imagined it. I said, hey, everybody, let's open up your blue books, which is the Foundations for Superior Performance, and let's read this chorale. And I thought, you know what? I would never do this on the second day, but hey, let's try it out and see. There's plenty of stuff that could go wrong. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff to teach. And they just did the thing. They played all smooth and they started playing phrases and somebody missed the key and I said, oops, Mr. Hall, my bad. And they marked it and then they did. I was just like, okay, this is I'm gonna have to do something different here because clearly March of the Minutemen was not gonna hold their attention. And so I remember writing exercises for those students and eventually full-blown pieces. And the students in that band that I had in 2017, the band that I had in 2018, and the band that I had in 2019, the final one was the Lost Woods Fantasy Group. So before them, there were exercises and mini pieces. And then by that last year, I had written two full pieces for them. And those students eventually went on to Wakeland High School, and they are currently college juniors. Oh my gosh, college sophomores and freshmen. Oh my.
Yeah, you
Some
old.
of them are holding down jobs at the auto shop right now. Like it's crazy. Almost all of them have beards.
You're gonna start getting wedding invitations pretty soon. That's
Oh, great.
the first thing that happens when you reach a certain age as a teacher.
I actually, as a side note, I used to always tell my students because they'd be curious that, especially me starting teaching in the 2010s, the internet was already so embedded into everything we did. My students had various online presences of sorts. And so they would get curious and ask me, hey, Mr. Hall, what, say, what's your handle? And I said, no, yeah, don't come find me outside. He's like, no, I think I see you on Facebook. I said, no, you can't add me till you graduate, until I am no longer your teacher. You have to walk that stage and then you can send me a friend request. Actually, yesterday I just got one of my students found me online and finally showed up, and he had, it was a picture of him in his gown, cap and robe, and he had just walked the stage that afternoon. And I said, my man, it's been 7 years and you understood the assignment. That was it was a really touching moment. And this young man is actually going on to college to pursue music of some sort. I'm pretty sure it's music composition. If not music education as a double. So I just couldn't be more proud at
You're
all
just
of the
at stage
students.
one.
Well, I mean, all of the students that go off and do all of the things, regardless of if it's music, there's this overwhelming sense of like, oh, wow, it's so good to see you existing in this world and doing your thing. Because I mean, on a serious note, there's a bunch of our friends in the industry who haven't made it to the year 2024. And so
Sure.
for them to go out into the world and continue to do the things that bring light to their souls is the best feeling ever. So that was a real surprise yesterday when I got that friend request from my student, and I thought, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, A plus, man. Add that to
Yeah.
the GPA.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm never happier than when I'm getting those friend requests and when I'm seeing those posts from ex students, many of whom are teaching now. Some of them have doctorates now. That's the phase that I'm in. All right, you've now officially beaten me to the doctorate. Well, I can't be ABD forever. I'm going to finish at some point. I'm just saying.
Isn't that what everybody says when they go ABD?
I don't know. I've got a bright blue crate over in the corner of the office that has my very delayed dissertation that I have not paid enough attention to in my life.
Wow.
And one day I will complete it. That day is not going to be today because I'm interviewing you. So thanks for making it
Fair.
take longer. But yeah,
That's fair
that's
enough.
really great. And you and I crossed paths very briefly in teaching, which is when I met you.
Yes.
Because your middle school that you're talking about that you were teaching at was not too far from a high school that I was opening. I was moving back to Texas to open. And I didn't do hardly anything that year because when you open up a new school, every day is a dumpster fire. But then I think you and I connected that summer and maybe had lunch, but you were leaving and I was staying, and
Yes.
I'm too old to remember, but I feel like we were there really, really briefly together, and then you moved on. Man, that's really great. I guess I should look at the show questions and ask you something.
All up to you.
Well, I mean, this would be something really, really good that I'm interested in. Like, especially now because your music has really taken off in the last 4 or 5 years, I would say. Maybe before that, but I think especially the last 4 or 5 years, like, caught
It's
fire.
been since the publication of Lostwood's Fantasy, and that would have been in the spring of 2019,
Yeah.
for the final middle school band that I taught at that same school before I went on to teach high school.
Yeah.
That was the first piece, and be simply because FJH had the Oh, just the manpower to reach across city lines, state lines, and say, "Hey,
Sure.
we have clients in Australia or
Yeah.
whatever."
Yes.
It just everything from that point on became this exponential, explosive growth and
Yeah.
fostering of new music.
Yep. No, that's really great. So I wonder in the last few years, like what are some of your like really great, experiences or things that you look back on and go, gosh, that was super cool, that you've gotten to experience?
Oh man, there's so many. I have to like just related to the students who started me on the journey of writing music for folks who need it. My very first group of beginners that I ever taught when they were in eighth grade, as some of them started to make honor groups like All Region, a few of them made one of the bands that was actually directed by my middle school band director,
Oh, wow.
Paul Schmidt. And that was just the coolest full circle moment. And then the following year, I said, "Hey, Mr. Schmidt, can you like come over to the school and, at least say hi to everybody?" It ended up being just this full clinic where they had a director and a grand director, which I thought was really cute. but that moment crystallized in my brain how I wanted to use my platform to reach the students that I was reaching. Eventually, these students that I've taught will be out doing their thing, and some of them might be educators or in professions where they may reach out to me and ask for my input, and I just love to give back that way. So that's the first story. I mean, it's like the origin story, I would say. As a composer, I just now have started to do honor groups. And every single time that I go visit a group, it's always super short. It's a day or
Sure.
maybe 2 days. Well, actually, Delaware got it right. They had theirs over 2 or 3 days. And the same with Connecticut. That was a really cool time. I got to conduct the Eastern Region honor band for Connecticut. And each time the, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Mr. Hall," and first note and the troubleshoot and the concert is always a blink of an eye. It, you're going to get 6, 7 hours at a time. And at first I think, oh my gosh, that's so much time. What are we going to do? And we just have so much fun that it's over before we even realize what's going on. And at the end of every single time I've done this, if I visit as Mr. Hall, the composer of our piece, or if I'm the clinician or whatever, there is this line that forms at the end of the concert or at the end of the clinic. Say, "Mr. Hall, can you sign my music? Oh my God, oh, I'm famous. Can I sell it on Craigslist?" I say, "Well, it probably won't be worth a whole lot now. You might want to save it for a couple of years. But Mr. Hall, can you sign my cast?" Like, "Oh, yeah, sure, buddy. Can you sign my arm?" Because, well,
Sign my
Mr.
baby
Hall,
brother's
my
forehead.
shoes."
Yeah.
But it's but what strikes me about that is how invested the students are in the music that keeps them going and meeting the face behind the music. I mean, when I was in school and we got cool music, that was the stuff that kept me going. It wasn't necessarily how good my teachers were or what my band hall was like or the school that I went to or anything like that. If they chose really cool music and we got to play, we did these performances that were really electric, that was the juice, and that kind of kept everybody going. It galvanized everybody. And so I certainly always aimed for that when I taught, is I always wanted to give pieces to my students that would electrify them, that would be something that challenged them, but they were excited about the challenge. And it's really cool being on the other side of that, having been a part of the creation of those moments for so many people. It certainly was very special to me. I mean, changed my life. And so I hope that I am positively changing these students' lives for the better, because they certainly are doing that for me.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, what do you got? You got any big projects on your bucket list? Stuff that something that you've always wanted to do that you just kind of think, one day I'd really love to dot dot dot.
There's a bunch. I would love to be a college professor of some sort. I haven't really decided, and I can't make up my mind about which path I want to go, but I think the plan for me is to try to get a degree in each of the major areas of my interest. So my bachelor's is in music ed, and I got to teach in the classroom at, secondary school for about a decade. My master's is in composition. And with a graduate composition degree, professorships are usually, you could be a composition, on the composition faculty or music theory faculty, which I've taught music theory before. And I also have this delusion that one day I'm going to be a college band director. And I know the road to that is just this long, arduous, but it doesn't deter me at all. And especially seeing what great humans the band faculty at Texas State were, and how magical their relationship was, and how much impact and influence they had on the students, and how each concert was just knocking it out of the ballpark. It inspired me to try to be like them. They seem to have fun, and they seem to do very good work, important work. And I think that's something that would be a goal for mine as well. Of course, with graduate school and getting accepted, you just kind of go wherever you're accepted, and that's DMA programs are not very common, like in each city all over the country. There are only a few spots. Well, that kind of has to wait because my wife is currently finishing her last stint of medical school. And she's gonna apply for these residencies wherever she can get the residency. So wherever
Sure.
she's going, I'm going. So,
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah. Yeah.
they got kids everywhere. They got universities everywhere. There's music everywhere. So that is currently the time that I'm in. And meanwhile, I just get to write, which I'm loving. Another big bucket list item of mine is to, you know, write something huge that's like a, you know, like a staple, like write, like a Southern Harmony type, or like a Wine Dark Sea, you know, Concerto for Wind Ensemble, Kevin Day type of, you know, throw down and have something on the shelf that's not meant to sell necessarily, but just be an addition to the repertoire that has some staying power and is something that will beget incredible performances. So that's another goal of mine.
Oh, that'd be great. Boy, the Kevin Day Concerto for Wind Ensemble is outstanding. And my very last year teaching, we were in the consortium that that helped commission that piece.
Wow.
And I love teaching. I never get to do it. I never got to do it. I got the signed score in the mail, and I was like, well, I guess I'll just put this in the box with everything else. I never got to play it, but what a really fantastic piece. And another great human from Texas.
Yeah, I met Kevin in 2016 when he was auditioning for the Disney band. Mm. And at the time, they allowed alumni to go into the auditions and just kind of be kind of on the panel. We wouldn't really get to interact necessarily with the auditionees, but whenever the auditionees would leave, and Ron would say, all right, so I mean, what do you think? And we would kind of give our input and everything. I remember Kevin's audition, and he held a tuba, but he played that thing like it was a euphonium, and it was just the just a blaze of fingers and fury. And I remember his playing was incredible, and his energy was just so, I mean, we were all so impressed. I remember him playing so hard that his glasses slipped, and he yeah. had to adjust his glasses between 30-second notes or whatever. And he didn't miss a beat, man. It was the coolest thing. And he put the tuba down, and he went over to the piano and just laid it out like he was,
yeah,
you know, oh my God, just like McCoy Tyner or something. I mean, he was at the keys just going in. And I thought, wow, like this kid has it, whatever it is.
Yeah. He's awesome. A supremely talented human.
Oh, and his personality was just so kind and expressive.
Yeah.
And I remember when he left, everybody was just buzzing about the energy they felt. And Ron turns to me and he says, you know, Gerard, I just can't shake the feeling that I get when I see him. He just reminds me so much of you.
Mm, that's a good compliment right there.
No, man.
Yeah.
Just warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah. good human.
Very good.
Good fellow Sinfonian. I mean, compositional giant. He just wrote an opera.
Yeah. I feel like I saw something about that here.
That's exciting.
A couple of weeks. Yeah. Right. Like, I'm 46. I'm about to give it a shot for the first time. You know, like, that's what awesome. Is he 25? Is he even 25 yet? I don't something even know if like he's 25.
I've lost track after all that. I honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. But a super nice dude. I need to have him on the podcast also. Very cool. We'll stop talking about other people. do you have any non-musical hobbies or anything you do in your spare time? I know we don't have spare time, but if you did and you imagined you had spare time, do you have anything that you would do with it?
Well, you know, I didn't have spare time, and then I started attending school as a student.
Yeah.
And it was mind-blowing. I expected there to be a difference, but I didn't really feel it until I stepped into the classroom and then realized that I could just sit down and let class happen.
Sure.
My free time in the last 2 years has increased from 1% to 10%, which is great. That yeah. is a huge increase. It would be way more, but I have just stuffed myself silly with projects and deadlines and things. And I stay busy, but it's on my schedule, and I get to kind of dole it out how I see fit. But when I'm not writing or playing music or teaching the music, I am just catching up on all the media that I have missed in the past. Oh my gosh, wild. I mean, even I started watching House because that's been on for ages. It's probably off the air now, but
It's been off the
House
air
is,
for a bit.
House is the current show that I'm watching, and I just get a kick out of it.
You
My
do need
wife
to catch
certainly
up.
does because she's able to call out all the inconsistencies and wrong, like, no, you can't do that in the
I was gonna
Oscar.
say, does she feel that way about those shows? Like when we see
Yeah,
a
she
musician on
loves it.
TV?
Yeah, it's really entertaining, and she knows that it's fiction and dramatized, but I'll have to turn to her every now and then and say, yeah, when Dr. House says go check the patient's house for toxins, you can't just break into people's houses, right? She goes, no, that's illegal. You can't do that. I said, okay, I'm just making sure. I didn't know if it was different wherever they practice medicine in the fictional place of Plainsboro, New Jersey, or maybe it's a real place, but that's currently what we're watching. I'm a How I Met Your Mother nut. I loved every episode except the last one, as is the common opinion.
Yeah, that seems to be common.
I bought a Switch during the pandemic, and I've been playing all kinds of Nintendo games for it. Well, I'm a Nintendo fan, but I haven't had a console older than the Nintendo 64 until 4 years ago. So I even it's in so in 2019, I was playing on my Nintendo 64 and playing, original, like Zelda Ocarina of Time or
Oh yeah,
Mario
classics.
64, Mario Kart, that kind of thing. And
Back
with
when
the
games did
Switch,
not cost $100.
there was just this huge jump. I remember video games being like $30 and the system itself being like $99 or something like that. And you get what you pay for. It's, 64-bit, video games. And at the time it was this revolution. Oh my gosh, it's 3D,
Oh, yes.
but
Moving backgrounds.
I never got the increment. I never went to GameCube. I never like switched over to another system like Xbox. I never got to step up in quality. I went straight from Nintendo 64 to the Nintendo Switch 20 years later. And oh my
That's
God.
a big jump.
It was huge. I remember being so enthralled with it that I got Breath of the Wild immediately. And there was a time when I played that game for 30 hours straight.
That's a long time. That's not healthy.
Oh, I felt horrible afterwards, but it was the best time. Of course, it was at the time where you couldn't really do much anyway. And so just being cooped up, I thought, wow, that's what grass looks like. I forgot. It's been so long
No
since.
kidding. Wow.
But
Nintendo
yeah,
also
that's something that I
is
really want to get.
Nintendo's not a sponsor of the show, but they could be. They could reach out and I would
You
be
should
happy
reach out to him about
to
that. Yeah,
talk
for
more
sure.
about Nintendo. Because I am an original Nintendo user and I played it on my 12-inch television, way back. Back when you would eject the cartridge and blow air in it if it didn't work right and you'd stick it back in because that somehow is how we thought it would work, and then sometimes it did. That's really fantastic. Well, I end each one of these with the 10 question segment, what I call the 10 question segment. I know what you're thinking is the whole thing has been questions, so why is there a separate 10 question segment? I don't know the answer to that, but that's what it says on the rundown, is that at the end you do the 10 question segment. And also, there may not be 10 questions.
Okay. Cool.
As listeners point out to me quite often, there were not 10 questions in the 10 question segment. So now I almost intentionally do not ask 10 questions because
Hey, there you go.
I just lean into the hate. And it's fine. In fact, the other day I accidentally asked 10 questions and so I asked an 11th. The 10 questions are frivolous and nonsensical and all in good fun and do not contain substance of any kind. Before we do that, tell people how they can find you out there in the world, not in a stalker way, but how they can find your music and your work out there so they can experience it as well.
The first way that most people use is if they're looking for band music, you're typically going on to a site like JW Pepper.
Also not a sponsor, but they could be.
Right. Yeah, if you just type in my name, you'll find at least 23 publications, which will soon double within the next several years. I've noticed that each year I've doubled the number of pieces that are out there. But that's one. I have a website, and it's gerardhallmusic.com. On that website, some of the other veins of my compositional career are a bit more present and prominent. For instance, I write and arrange marching shows for clients all over the country. Currently, this is my fourth year doing so, and I have original custom shows that are sold through the Grand Mesa Marching umbrella of the Randall Standards Music Company. And I also do clinician and consultant work. I've been doing that for about 2 or 3 years, at all of the levels. In fact, because of my website, one of the well, the director at Colorado Mesa University found me and said, "Hey, can you come do our Best of the West Festival?" Where they brought the high schoolers in, and the college students had a master class with me. It was their jazz pep group they call the Rowdy Brass Band. And I got to give a clinic with the directors, and all the clinic was, "Hey, here's my music. It's pretty good, right? Yeah, you should buy it. All right,
That's it.
next.
End of
This is
clinic.
also my music. Hey, you should buy it." But I got to
That's
also
a
work with the high schoolers. So that was based off of my website, and gerardhallmusic.com also has audio samples of some of the works that I've got published. But I know that other sites that are a bit more robust that have everybody's music tend to do that as well. So you can find me out there. Most of my pieces that are published are YouTube videos of some sort. So if you're just surfing the web and you go onto YouTube and you're curious about, what stuff is out there, "Hey, has Gerard done anything new?" You'll find a bunch of stuff. You'll find our latest releases, which this year is Spiritus Invictus, which is a grade two fanfare. You'll find Ultimate Valor, which is a grade two wind band piece dedicated to my friend Philip Black, who left us too soon. You'll find excuse me. You'll find a bunch of all the Make Music company that Brian started a couple years ago has exploded something fierce. So I'm definitely on the Alfred website. There's Make Music publications. I have four new pieces through them, four or five. So if you're willing to look in any of the directions, I don't think you'll have to go too far. Just make sure my name only has one R, because
One
I
R.
don't think autocorrect recognizes Gerard yet. Yet I'm working on it. In a couple of years.
Listen, autocorrect has gone off the rails. It started trying to correct words I'm typing to words I have never typed in my life. I just think, what? AI is stupid. It's too stupid to be a threat, I
Agree.
think. That's really great. And I would encourage anybody to check Gerard's music out anywhere you can find it and buy it and program it, even though Gerard is not a sponsor of the show. So 10 questions with Gerard. Do you have a favorite food?
Ooh, right now the favorite food is pizza, for the sole reason that a Little Caesars opened up right across the street. I can literally walk and grab dinner if I'm not feeling it. And I mean, Little Caesars used to not be good. They've upped their game quite a bit. So thank you, Little Caesars, for that. And of course, they're not sponsored by the show.
Little Caesars not a sponsor of the show, so but you still feel free to visit them if you like. Do you have a favorite place to visit or vacation?
I don't yet. I feel like I will eventually.
Yeah.
I go home a lot to Dallas, because I'm living in San Antonio. But I feel like the spot is one that we haven't discovered yet. Before this time period in my life, we haven't even had the time to travel, really. So
Sure. Yeah.
that's, to be determined.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always good to see you when you come back to Dallas because you call me and we get together. We don't. That's why I'm saying that. I'm giving
We
Gerard a
went
hard
to
time.
Scotty P's
That was
that
like
one time.
6 years ago.
Okay, fair. Fair.
I always see you when we're in Chicago and we're, or when I'm in San Antonio. I always, when I'm just gonna say, when I'm in San Antonio, I always text you and like, hey, let's go to lunch.
I see. This
I'm
is what
just
the podcast is. It's a giant guilt trip for me
saying that's what happens. I never get that message from you like, hey, I'm coming up to DFW. Like,
to
you know, it's okay, it's fine.
Hey, that's fair. That's
You
fair.
know what? You're it's fine. It's really fine. I shouldn't even have brought it up. Do you have a favorite color?
It's green. But I'm inclined to say my favorite color is your favorite color, and I will probably come up to Dallas and say, "Hey, I'm on my way up with a pizza that's the green wouldn't be a good." Anyway, it's my favorite color has been green for a long time. And fun fact, my first job at Berkner High School was with a school whose colors, the mascot and everything, the color scheme was green and white. And then the second school that I worked at was Griffin Middle School, and their color scheme was green and yellow. So my first two jobs for the first 5 years of my life, the school colors were my color, and I was happy about that.
That's just that's good. That's good coincidence right there. I love
I
that.
mean, I went to North Texas, and they're the mean green. So it
Green.
green was well before I went to Texas, but when I finally got there, it really cemented the idea. I'm like, all right, I gotta go work at some green schools. This is too much fun.
You're the only person that in a job interview asks, well, what's the school color?
Yeah,
Oh, it's red. I'm out.
no, thank you.
Do you remember the last thing you Googled?
I do. Very last thing I Googled was the word. Was it excitement? I'll tell you the context. When I create tempo markings, I try to skirt the very tenuous line of like musically informational, stylistically appropriate, and funny. And so sometimes when I write a piece or when I'm arranging something, the metronome mark will say some number, BPM, and the tempo marking will say like, with attitude, with some soul. And sometimes people look at the tempo and they go, okay, well, what does with some soul mean, Mr. Hall? Is that 90 or 96 or whatever? So
135.
right. The last search was assertive, because I wanted all of the synonyms and all the different ways that you could say assertively, particularly as it relates to having an attitude, which informally in English has this connotation of, maybe being a bit, uncooperative or like or a little bit mad or a little bit, kind of bent. Because there is a marching show that I'm doing now that will implement the funk style and genre. And one of the only ways you can use to describe funk is with attitude. Well, with an attitude.
Yeah,
So
for sure.
that was my last search.
I love that. This is an important question. When you go to bed at night, do you sleep with your socks on or your socks off?
Off 100%.
That's the right answer. Good.
I get too hot.
Congratulations. You
And in
pass.
fact, my thermostat reads, Antarctica instead of an
58.
actual number.
Yeah.
So when I go to
It's
sleep, it is
just a
snowing
picture of a
in
snowflake, right?
bed. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm wrapped up in 15 blankets with no socks.
I love that. Do you have a favorite time of day to write?
Is way too late, like midnight.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I used to be the same. When I was your age, I was the same way. I now can't do that anymore, but I understand that. This is going to be interesting. If you could do any other job other than what you're doing now, something non-musical, what do you think it would be?
Non-musical? Man, those jobs exist.
I've heard about them. I don't really understand them, and I'm not sure why anybody would want to do them. So, but I think it's an interesting question.
When I was real little, I remember wanting to be a singer. Like, specifically, I wanted to be a member of one of the super popular boy bands of the time, which would have been New Kids Backstreet. And I
You could have been a
remember
Backstreet Boy.
thinking, yeah, I mean, I remember thinking I would love to be an entertainer of some sort. So if I wasn't a musician, probably be a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to be funny first, but I feel like you can work on that. Get
You're
your timing right,
funny-ish. Yeah. You could
or
write
something.
jokes.
Something in the entertainment industry. I remember going to a very Christian private school, and one of the teachers reached their hand out and they said, "Oh, Gerard, you're going to be a pastor when you grow up. I know that you'll influence so many lives, and you're going to teach the world so many things." And I thought, "Huh, yeah, right." And then, fast forward 15 years, and I'm filling out this application for a job where I get to teach, and I'm like, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. Did they just call that? Did they just call
Boom.
that 15 years
Yeah.
ago?" So I don't know, a comedian teacher
You are
just
changing
exists
lives, but you can still go out for drinks.
there. Or a YouTuber,
Or a YouTuber. I feel
because
like I could be an
you can do
influencer.
that.
I
Exactly.
could do that whole thing. Like, hey everybody, so I just woke up and let me.
See, but I would probably talk about music, so maybe that's off the table.
Yeah, I feel like we both would. We can't get away. It's an inescapable black hole.
Yeah.
Well, Gerard, I love that we got to spend this time together, especially since you don't visit. And it's always great to catch
Wait,
up.
hey, wait a minute. That wasn't 10 questions. Come on, man. You called it the 10-minute segment.
I think it
The
was. I think it was 10.
10-question
Well,
segment.
also I'm a musician. I can only count to four or five if I'm really concentrating hard.
That's
So
a tuba joke.
was
As
never
I can only count to four. You should be able
never
to count to at least seven.
Oh no, definitely after six I'm definitely guessing. Nobody counts a seven lit.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, my friend, it's always great, and I wish you the best, and I encourage anybody to check out this man's music because it is fantabulous. So we look forward to more great things in the future, my friend.
Love it. Thanks so much for having me on.
Composer Chat is brought to you by SCM Media. Is your audience dead? Bring it back to life. And thanks to my guest this week, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to watch for next week's episode with the next composer on my list. And you can find my other podcasts, Beyond the Belt, Adventures from the Outer Rim, Sci-Fi Drama, anywhere that podcasts are streamed. Listen Free, seasons 1 through 3 are out now. You can find me on Instagram at jasonnitch.composer. You can find me on Threads at jasonnitch.composer. You can find me on the Facebooks, if you're old like me, Jason K. Nitch. You can find me on the web at jasonnitch.com or at beyondthebeltpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Are you a singer looking to take your voice to the next level, struggling with technique? Go practice is the answer, including complete guided warm-ups and exercises to troubleshoot what's holding you back. Go practice is perfect for singers who are traveling, getting ready for an audition, and anyone who wants to build healthy practice habits. That's Go Practice, one word, available in the App Store and Google Play.